Are we rolling? Well, praise the Lord. The Lord is good, isn't He? I thank God for His presence. I thank God that His purpose is determined, isn't it? And I don't really know I've had so many things going on and meditating on what God would want to share. And Steve shared on Wednesday night, which I thought was fantastic. And a lot of events and a lot of things have taken place during the week. But God's been, pointing and determining things to go in a certain direction. And I'm not going to try and preach today. I like to preach. People always think, oh, he likes to preach. He's got an itch. No. If I have an itch, it's only an itch to scratch what God wants done. People always turn that a certain way. And me personally, I love the Word of God and everything. And the Word of God brings me joy. And as God is going on, it's also liberating me. And so I think this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and just read. I have a lot, but I'm just going to read if I can. I'm going to try. I'm going to let the Word do some talking. I'm not saying I won't interject once in a while. But I wanted to start off, and the reason I think this is perfect of what you've written and how you have to be determined and how you have to make up your mind. Everybody wants God to do everything, but, when God put Adam in a garden, He made everything just right, didn't He? And all Adam had to do was agree with God. That's all he had to do. And that wasn't going to be Adam's one and only test. It was not. We might think it would be. But it's not. I'm going to try and stay right on my stool today. I have a question before I get started, or maybe this is part of getting started. And before you answer, because I might call on you if you say you have the answer. But the truth of the matter is, I have a question for you. How many of us know what sanctification is? Let me see a raise of hands. Sanctification. Which determines a real issue we have in our lives. Because if we don't even know what sanctification is, how are we ever going to live it? And just because we know the definition of it doesn't mean we live it. There's justification. That's a great thing. There's sanctification. And how many know that sanctification is a progressive work? I wish it was a one and done, don't you? Now you might be saying, yeah, but I don't even know what sanctification means. Now I'm not telling you. Wait a minute. No, I'm not telling you. I think I'll teach on it, maybe starting Wednesday. But I really felt the Lord told me to ask that question. And it's unfortunate, but this is what I saw. That no one would know. So, with all that said, praise the Lord, I want to read something. My dad was texting me this week, and, I got home the other day. He had texted me, a couple, three times during the week. I don't spend a lot of time. I'm so busy at work, but sometimes, from my point of view, there are certain things that become supersedes and important. And I spent 35 hours doing a certain test. This was like a first time ever test, 35 hours. And I mean, it was rolling along. It took a long time to get it going. And my technician did something a little incorrect and boom, broke the test and it's done. Have to start all over. But that's life, isn't it? And my dad texted me. He said he was sad and everything because, a couple different days. And I came home and Kaylee said to me, "Hey, did you hear what the Supreme Court did today?" And I said, "Yeah, I heard it." Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And a lot of people, are sad, and a lot of people, and I actually responded to my dad. I just said, well, it just legitimizes what's already in the heart of people. That's all it does. I also wrote him another text, and I told him in 1973, when most of you weren't even born, that the Supreme Court approved the aborting of babies, which was to abort the seed, and all we did in 2015 was to approve the non-reproducing of the seed. That's all we did. And then I made this statement I love to say all the time, that Elijah drank from a stream that Ahab didn't know anything about. It wasn't on Ahab's map. And far too often the church, the worldly church, moves from a dimension of Ahab, Israel, right? Samaria. They don't know what really is going on. Where? In the secret place. Got some Bible, but they don't really know what's going on in the secret place. Do you know everything that's going on? No. No. But press. Now listen. One of the things that concerns me in this day, and I wrote this to my dad. You might say, well, why are you doing this? He's talking about people, because I read to you a few weeks ago about, he said, the exodus has begun. Remember that? People leaving the church. And we always think it's people we think we know about, don't we? I wrote to him and I said, unfortunately, it's the season. God can't even come unless there comes an apostasy of falling away, right? We don't believe that, but that's all right. And I wrote this, we've watched for many years families walk away time and time again. But the Lord was gracious to your family. I have been warning the family, my family, since 2010, God will leave no one or nothing untouched, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When Mark walked away in 2014, the word was confirmed. Then I wrote in capital letters, there is much more to come. Cindy and Brother Varner were proof to me the Lord is tolerable and patient, but he doesn't play favorites. Listen to my message from Sunday. I'm not just a man ranting and raving. God wants his promise fulfilled only, and only his Spirit will perform it. The biggest advice I can give is to pray and not overreact. The ocean has ebbs and flows. God knows how to tilt the earth just right. The challenge of listening to the family members is familiarity. We must hear his voice within the voice. The enemy, carnality, hates the seed. The goal is always reconciliation with people. But some people will never change, unfortunately. And I'm here to tell you, I've been saying it since 2010 when God gave me the vision. I watched yesterday the wind blow like crazy, blowing limbs and trees and all kinds of stuff out. And because God knows the heart, whether it's truly determined, he doesn't listen to the mouth, he listens to the heart. Are you with me? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. I'm just going to read. Is that all right? I'm going to read out of the Amplified, so you'll have to follow along the best you can. If not, just listen, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I read this last week. But relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and our gathering together to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed, or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some pretend revelation of the Spirit or by word or letter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here. Even though the work is finished, there's still yet some finishing to do. Are you with me? Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first. That's my concern. A falling away. That is, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians, unless anybody think that this book was written to anyone other than Christians, please don't be mistaken today. This book was written for you and I. And the man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself. So proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worshiped, even to his actually taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Now, we would never do that, but every decision we make that is outside the parameters of God is antichrist, right? And we put ourselves like Agag above the top. Amen? You say, why are you saying this? I told you in 2010 to look around. Do you remember? Do you remember? To look around and see who's not here. And I guarantee you they sat in the same position you sit at right now and say, I wouldn't move. I'm not giving up my seat. And I tell you, look around again. Because God will not allow flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom of God. You have to be determined that you're going to leave the pleasure of the world behind and drink from his cup. Because his only goal is to do what? To bring us to himself. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, unless anybody misunderstands me or has trouble with me or the familiarity with me, I'd like to read this verse to make it clear and obvious what God is doing and has done, all right? All right, I'm glad, all right? Verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for what? For the what? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, the Lord gave us a command. And the command was this: be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That alone will tell you that perfection is not only plausible and possible, but it is a must. It's not human perfection, because he said, as your Father in heaven is perfect. He eliminates immediately any energy to perfect in the flesh. He told the Galatians, oh, you foolish Galatians, you who have begun in the Spirit, do you think you can be made perfect in the flesh? It's impossible, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And the goal still is to bring fruit to perfection, completion, or maturity, isn't it? That's God's goal. It's been his promise and premise from the beginning when he made Adam. Because he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Because God in the spirit or in heaven is already perfect. Right? Are you with me? So God gives us ministry for one reason and one reason only, and it's to bring us to perfection. It's for the perfecting of the saints. That's why we teach, we admonish, we uplift, we encourage, which really means strengthen. We're not here just to make people feel good. We're here to see a change in our lives. And if we don't change, God blows a wind. He gives us time to change. He gives us space to change. Do you know what the word repent means? There's two words in the Greek that shows it, and one of the word metanoia, it means to change the mind. Do you know what the other word would repent? It's also used in the Old Testament. Remember when God said it repented God that he made man to begin with? In other words, you know, I listen to people and they tell me, you know, I've heard preachers and they say, God's never disappointed. He never gets on. Listen, the Bible says he was grieved. He was grieved. But the cool thing about God is he doesn't stop. Because he already knows the end from the beginning. And so therefore he continues on the path, the process, to get what he started with. First the natural, then the spiritual. Amen. So God sends this for the what? For the perfecting of the saints. And what God's really trying to build is a house, isn't he? A people, a corporate man, a corporate son, a body. I went through all that when we went through John 14. I prepare a place. In my Father's house there are many mansions, aren't there? Dwelling places. I go to prepare a place. And what he prepared really was, watch this, a walk through the veil of the flesh. And the reason for that is because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I will beat that dead horse until we get it. I get it. That no matter what, flesh and blood, no matter how good of an idea I have, if it's from the realm of flesh and blood, it's Antichrist. Because there is a way that seemeth, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen? Are you with me? And so God's building a house, isn't he? Now turn with me to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 22. And Steve mentioned this a little bit the other day. Well, he mentioned something the other day that kind of got me going. And him and I have been talking about things anyway when we walk and stuff. Now, everybody knows the story about David wanting to build a house for God, didn't he? He wanted to build a house for God, and he told Nathan the prophet, he said, hey, I dwell in a house, but God dwells in a tent. And so I want to build him a house. And what did Nathan the prophet say? Hey, whatever in your heart, go do it. And then God had to show up to the prophet and say, listen, go back to David and tell him at no time did I ever ask him to build me a house. Now, Lest we confuse the thought that when God said, I never asked him to build a house, that God didn't want a house. Not the case. God wanted a house, he just didn't want David to build it. Are you with me? And in verse 7 it says, in chapter 22 of 1 Chronicles, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all of his enemies round about him, for his name shall be... Oh, wow. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Now, isn't that interesting? Here he's talking to Solomon and he says, listen, God told me before you ever showed up I was going to have a son named Solomon. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it even entered into the hearts of those what God has prepared for them. What did you write, Danielle and Corey? Meditate on what he's thinking about. It'll change your life. It'll make you order your life. Are you with me? What'd she say? So we have this understanding now that you can't build a house during the time of what? War. Is that correct? The time of war. And many people are walking away these days because there's war in their hearts. They don't get their own way. They don't get what they want. It's part of the trial of the Lord, the testing. Are you with me? Because God comes to do what? Try the hearts. Turn with me to James. I'm just reading this morning, all right? I'm letting the Bible talk. Okay? Are you with me? I'm going to read out of the Amplified. Is that all right with you? Now, what's the premise here? Building a house. You have to build the house when? In a time of peace. Time of rest. Not during wars. Sit back down. I wanted to stand up, but I'm going to try and stay seated. If anybody understands this, Solomon was not a better man than David. It was God's choosing. And not only was it God's choosing, watch this, he couldn't build the house anywhere else but in Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean? Peace. Jesus is the King of kings, isn't he? He's the Lord of lords. He is peace, isn't he? Prince of peace, isn't he? Are you with me? He said the other day, he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He said, but listen, if you don't produce fruit, I'll cut you off. But if you do produce fruit, I'm going to prune you. I'm going to test you. I'm going to clip you so you can bring forth what? Much fruit. There's fruit There's more fruit and there's much fruit. Three dimensions of God. Are you with me? 30, 60, 100. I have a question for you. I want to interject this. If I ask you what a 30-folder is, what would you say to me? Yeah, immature. Talk about the percentages. Most folks preach this and teach this, that I'm only bringing forth 30% fruit. The truth of the matter is, it's 30% God and 70% you. And a 60-folder is 60% of God and 40% of still you. But a 100-folder is what? All God. You see how we have this thing backwards? Are you with me? All right. We're going to build a house, but you can only build it when? See, he just sidetracked me, and you're going to have to stay right there till I go where I'm going. Listen, you sang the song, and we have to go where he goes, don't we? Just stay with me. Okay. I know what I'm going to do now. I've got it. Okay, you ready? We're in James. I'm going to go to this verse in a minute. All right? What leads to strife? Oh, verse 1. James 4, verse 1. Sorry, I'm really sorry. You ready? What leads to strife, discord, and feuds? And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Now, he's not talking to anybody other than church folks. Do they not arise from your sensual desires? That has nothing to do with sex. It has to do with your own senses, how you feel, your mind, your will, your emotions. Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? Carnality, isn't it? You are jealous and covet what others have. And he's not talking about materialistic goods here. He's talking about positions and who's in charge. And I don't mean pastors. I mean the order of God. That's what Steve talked about the other night. You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. Wait a minute, I never killed anybody. Well, we're going to go back to what Jesus said a murderer was. Oh, wait, he puts it here. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. What's missing? See, we've turned this verse into, I don't have something, so I'm going to ask God for it. But the thing that he's trying to get us to understand is he's bringing us to perfection. He's bringing us to a house. And the thing that we don't have is peace. You don't have because you don't ask. And the reason we don't ask is because we already think we have it, based on a philosophy, a teaching, a message, the traditions of men, which make the word of God not effective. As long as I believe it, to me, it's the truth. I don't fight in war. As long as I believe it, it's true. Is that true? No. Or you do not ask God for them, and yet you fail to receive, Because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives, having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? What was in the song today? Leaving the pleasures of the world behind. All right, I'll do it, God. Do you know what sanctification means? It means to separate. And I guarantee you, our separation from the world is not very good. We just think it is. How do you know that, Pastor? You ready? What did we just read? We're reading about wars and fighting and war. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't turn there. Talking about lawsuits, right? Remember when they took them to fight? The lawsuits that you have against each other show that you are already defeated. Now, the lawsuit is just an argument or a quarrel, isn't it? Are you listening to me? It's just an argument or a quarrel. It shows that if this happens, we're already what? Defeated. It would be better for you to let someone wrong you. Can you imagine that? It would be better to let someone cheat you. Do you know why most people fight? Always trying to prove they're right. They can talk all they want about how they don't like to, but let me tell you, the Bible says it wars within their members. Why are you saying all this? Because God wants to build a house in peace, of peace. And he's going to blow every wind he can to shake out every bit of carnality in our lives. And we better hang on tight, because let me tell you, I'm talking to my children now, that it doesn't matter that God took a man named Brother Sexton, and then he